There is a fine line between being proud and being self-important, and honestly, I don't know which side of the line New York City falls on when it comes to its attitude about its bagels. I mean, you still have people screaming halfway across the country about how it's the New York water that makes them so good, that makes them the best. But like, I'm a New Yorker, and I'm not really sure our bagels are the best. So we're going to talk about them today with one of New York's best bagel bakers at the moment. Her name is Diana Dao Hung. She's a Lao Thai woman who quit working in advertising to get into cooking, and the New York bagels she bakes are actually made in her very own style. Hey, Diana, how are you?
I'm doing awesome here. Yeah. It's great.
I'm doing more awesome because now you walk in, the scent of these beautiful bagels and their seeds and their garlic is like wafting through. So, but I do want to start with the question of the New York bagel. So I grew up in New Jersey, so every bagel I ever had was a New York bagel, but it is a particular style. So stylistically, what is a New York bagel?
Oh, man. I think it's interesting because they've definitely evolved. I'll just talk about what New York bagels are today. So sure. New York bagels are this huge, bloated, barely have a hole in it. It looks like just a belly button in a roll, essentially, nowadays. Very lackluster in flavor. You know, you really, especially in bread, you want that awesome, fermented, yeasty, almost beer-like flavor, but a lot of bagels that we now know are called New York bagels barely have a taste of fermentation in them. It's probably so far from what they originally started off at, you know, in Poland, essentially. So,
and what was the model that it's since evolved from?
So, I mean, there's so many different stories of what it originally started off at, but the stories that I've heard were they really were a biscuit or more of a pretzel like texture. So super dense, a lot smaller. They were also known as bagel biscuits. So probably a quarter of the size of what a typical New York bagel is, you know, and again, much bigger hole. They used to be, you know, I think a lot of bagel shops still do this, but they used to be on wooden dowels. So the hole actually has to be big enough to go into a wooden dowel. But again, a lot more dense, less fluffy, not so much, for lack of a better word, a roll with a hole in it.
And you brought some. These are from, I guess we don't have to name where they're from, but this is from like a legit bagel bakery. Yeah. So let's taste it and let's talk about what these things are in their good form today.
Absolutely. And these are actually literally, I think, a block away from where we're at now, which is like really close to Grand Central. So the mecca of New York, right, essentially?
Right up.
Yeah, so automatically, like, the first thing I taste is what I was saying earlier, just that lack of real bread flavor. Obviously, it still tastes like bread, you know, because you can taste the flour, the salt in it. But, again, it's super fluffy. The size is, like, the first thing you notice, and particularly the hole size. Like, this one right here barely, I don't even call that a hole. That's like a, I don't even know what that is, a crack.
There might be some light coming through that hole, but, yeah, the bagel is almost 6 inches wide, 5 or 6 inches wide. This one's probably like 2.5 inches tall. I mean, I have to say, eating it, it does, I mean, it's tasty. There's a little crispness in the crust. There's a sweetness. It's chewy, but it is kind of, it's not a flavor that really lingers.
I mean, I think too, a lot, I mean, I know these guys boil their bagels, but a lot of, you know, new school bagels actually don't even do the boiling process anymore. There's dough conditioners now that will give you that similar quality of getting that shine, changing the texture. I don't think a bagel is a bagel unless it's boiled. I think boiling is like the most important process of bagel baking itself.
What does boiling do?
Boiling does a lot of things. So that shine that you get in bagels, that's part of boiling. But the texture, mainly boiling kind of strips away a lot of the proteins to give you that more chewy texture that you expect.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if you were just to take a regular bagel and not boil it and not put any dough conditioners in it, it would come out a lot like a roll, essentially. So
how did the bagel get from this, you know, intense, artisanally made product that had these qualities you're talking about, a big hole, always boiled, a chewiness, a density, a fermented flavor, to the sort of puffy things we see today?
Well, again, I think, like anything, there's so many stories behind it. But the one that I heard was, one, the union. You know, a lot of people aren't aware that there was a bagel union that started really early on. I want to say, like, in the 1930s. And then they developed even greater numbers in like the 1960s. And there's also the story of Lender himself. Mr. Lender was this great business genius. And I think both sides were probably figuring out, like, how do we get more money? And any bread baker knows, you know, if you want to double something, you just let it proof a little bit longer. And the longer you let something proof, the softer it becomes, actually, because it creates more air pockets, more air cells. Mm. You know, and that's why it's a lot softer than it was back in the day. And, you know, again, it takes the same amount of labor, just a little bit longer time, same amount of ingredient. So,
and that innovation,
yeah,
so to speak, was attributed to Lender.
Supposedly, that's okay. What I've heard through the grapevine. Yeah.
But there was a story about the bagel union going on strike, mm-hmm, too, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a couple of times they went on strike. Bagels in particular, back in the day, were really gnarly, gnarly working conditions. Mm. There's stories about it where the conditions were just really sweaty because, you know, there's a huge vat of boiling water on top of an oven.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so bakeries were all in the Lower East Side, all on Delancey and Orchard, in basements. So super low, low ceilings. They would just be paid horribly and working really long hours. So then the union formed, you know, and then, you know, like any union, they were just trying to get better wages,
sure,
better working conditions.
So when the bagel craftspeople, mm-hmm, when the bakers went on strike, the owners just started mechanizing.
Mechanizing, but also, you know, in order to be a bagel baker, you had to be part of the union. You had to get grandfathered in. You had to be male, be able to speak Yiddish. And again, your father and your father's father had to be a bagel baker. Mm. And you'd actually have to train for 6 months before you even got to bake. So once they went on strike, you know, the bakery owners just weren't like, we can't stop business. We're not making that much money where we can just stop for a couple days and that's it. So that's when they started hiring other immigrants, hiring other, you know, obviously you can't tell on radio, but I'm not from a Jewish heritage. You know, I'm Thai Laotian, like you said in the very beginning. So I think it's interesting that back in the day, those people that striked kind of created a whole new interest with other immigrants that weren't Jewish, that weren't from, you know, Eastern Europe, to start making something essentially that was part of their culture. And I think that's how the bagel kind of became New York, just like New York with all these amazing cultures in it. The bagel baking became kind of a symbol for that in a way.
It actually is a much more diverse story. It's not like one single story.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, okay, so now you are a bagel baker.
Yep.
When you were developing your style of bagel, what inspired you? Like, what did you want to get at?
Again, not coming from a Jewish background, and I also grew up in Florida where, you know, they're really not known for their bagels. I definitely did a lot of research. I went to San Francisco. There's an awesome shop called Beauties there. One of the owners, Noah Burnimoff, he is actually from Montreal, and the other owner is from Long Island, Matt, and they're actually both from Jewish backgrounds, so they, you know, were really tied into what kind of bagel we were going to make. Mm. So to them, they're just like, you know what, why do we have to do a Montreal style, or why do we have to do a New York style? Let's come up with our own style and let's take the best of both worlds. You know, for those that haven't had a Montreal bagel, they're really interesting in texture. They're definitely a little closer to like an old school bagel. They're a lot more dense. They're all wood fired, you know, and I think the things that we wanted to take from the Montreal bagel was definitely that honey water, that sweetness from the honey water, the wood oven, absolutely. But the one thing we didn't necessarily always like is how dense the Montreal bagel is. So we wanted to just create a hybrid between those, take the best of both worlds.
All right. And you have some here. Can we taste some?
Absolutely, please.
So this is,
is probably like my fifth bagel of the day, seriously.
So this is, wow. There's definitely a lot more heft to it. Mm.
So right away you get like that difference in density, right? And also we do a almost 24-hour proof where you get a little bit more of that fermentation flavor.
Yeah, it's not beery or yeasty,
right?
But there's definitely a lot more depth to the flavor in the dough, for sure. It's funny because it's denser. It's not as like crisp and chewy as the other more New York style bagel we tasted, but there's a lot more body to it.
Right,
it's a lot more.
Yeah.
This feels like a crazy thing to say about a bread, but it almost feels like luxurious on the tongue, right? It's like
as that's probably the nicest thing I've ever heard anybody say about my bagel.
But yeah, as you're eating it, it's like hanging out with you. You know, it's like it's not like oh, you're trying to chew your way through it.
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of exactly what we aim for. Nothing that is specific to New York or nothing that's specific to Montreal, but something that is specific to Black Seed.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're so glad you brought a dozen of these. Thank you so much, Diana.
Yeah, thank you.
It's great to talk with you.
Absolutely.
Diana Dowhung is the chef, baker, and partner at Black Seed Bagels in New York, and she's a two-time James Beard Award nominee for Outstanding Baker.